fate turned upside down. Life begins on the other side with despair. Jean-Paul Sartre. Our perfect day was disturbed slightly by a little kid. Zelos, unable to help himself any longer, had just broken away from a deep kiss when this obnoxious little boy ran up to us and shouted, "Hey, that's dirty! You're supposed to be a priestess! Priestesses don't do that kind of stuff!" But Zellybean just smiled good-naturedly. He knelt down to eye level with the boy and explained, "Kissing isn't dirty. Loving is nice. Your mom loves your dad, right? Well, priestesses love too, because they're normal human beings. I know even a big guy like you can understand that. Although, you probably don't kiss icky girls yet, huh?" That got a male solidarity grunt out of the boy, and he ran off, with us soon forgotten. "You're not bad for a city guy," I complimented Zelly's riding when we headed back. "Thanks. The out-of-doors is nice, with someone like you to tame it with," he said. "Isn't that the way we came? Or am I lost?"
"Not lost. We have some errands to do."
"Oh, out here?" He smacked at a bug. Zelly had been very tolerant of the wildlife and rustic accommodations up until this point. Now that the day was really heating up, the bugs were looking for lunch, too. It would be a test of his endurance. "This way leads to the stream that feeds the lake we swim in. There are some nice spots to stop and gather."
"Gather what?"
But I figured seeing the wildberry thicket would answer that question soon enough.
"Ah, blackberries," he said with understanding.
"Now we give the horses their apple treats while we fill the picnic basket with berries."
"I see. Dating a clan girl comes at a price," he muttered.
But with a show of good grace, he plucked berries for me.
"Ouch, nasty, thorny things,"
I could hear him grumble. "Can you reach those?" I pointed to a bunch out of my reach, which meant that they were probably out of his as well. Gingerly, he hopped about the snagging undergrowth. He found a fallen tree branch, crooked at the end, and used it to bend the heavy fruited tip to within my reach.
"How's that?"
"Satisfactory, my good man. Thanks." When I checked the basket next time, it was full. "Hey, lover boy, you can stop now." He climbed out of the brambles to my side. With a scratched and stained hand, he pushed his bangs out of his eyes, leaving a purple smudge of berry juice on one cheek. I gotta tell you, he looked so cute with his hair mussed and decorated with bits of dry grass. I couldn't believe how attracted to him I was. I like him well enough in his smart-looking suits and cool band clothes. But this way, in old jeans and a shirt, he looked more, well, manly. Using his shirt tails, he wiped the sweat from his face and looked over my way. He caught my eyes looking him over and smiled. He'd been smart enough to keep his shirt on to protect his arms from the nasty thorns, but he was hot and sweaty. So was I. I could just see a rivulet of moisture trickle down his neck and disappear beneath his open collar. He could use some sun on his chest. "I know just the place to cool off, and we can gather greens for our salad tonight, too."
"Cool sounds nice,"
he agreed, and followed me along a narrow, steep trail leading from the road to the stream. One look at the isolated pool off the fast-flowing water, and he added,
"I don't care if all the clan is watching us. I'm getting you naked in that water."
I laughed so hard as he fumbled with my clothes, hot and sticking to my skin, and then with his own. I was afraid he'd rip off the buttons, so I helped him out. This was nothing like the smooth maneuvering he'd used to slip me out of my clothes that first time we made love. Or was it me who commandeered his? Funny, I couldn't even remember now. Wasn't that an important moment in my life? He was my first. I gave up something. But the love I got in return more than made up for it. Oh, and my back ached later. I guess it didn't matter. It got better with time. We got better with practice.
Gods, it's cold,
he gasped when he stepped into the water. Ice melt from the mountains, very clean and pure.
And cold.
We stood in the water and splashed a while, until we could completely submerge. We could barely endure it for more than a minute or two, but we cooled off and eased our itches. It shriveled flesh and cooled our ardor. After dressing, we collected several bunches of peppery watercress.
I had a really nice time, Philia. I know I'm no country lad, but I can see why you love it here so much. I feel relaxed and comfortable and contented.
He gathered me up for a light kiss.
I love you, Philia. I thought you should know.
I blushed. I know, and I love you too. I mean it. Everything about you. He crushed me in his arms, and I think he cried when he told me,
I can't believe this. It's better than I ever, ever dreamed of falling in love could be. And you know, I've thought about that a lot. I just want to make you happy, Philia. I want you to know exactly how special you've made me feel.
But I did. I really did. Because I felt like something magical was happening to us.
Also, I was wondering.
Yes, Zellybean?
When we get back.
Oh boy, this was going to be a good one. Yes?
I may need some salve or something for the saddle sores.
The lusty glint in his eyes said it all. Did I ever mention that he was a demanding lover? He had a non-stop libido. I'm not kidding. It wasn't like the only thing on his mind, but it took up a large portion of it. When the summer arrived, for reasons only he could understand, Zelos arranged for accommodations at the resort on Wolfpack Island for my parents, Quinny, and Mill and Millie. He told us all that he understood little progress had been made on returning the island to a CP Believer Wolf Preserve, or that the resort hadn't been altered, or hardly used. Milgazia said Luna was looking into some financial difficulties, so we were going to stay a couple days, tour and vacation. Yeah, got that? Vacationing with my family and my clan leader. I told you Zelly was nuts. A crew of cleaning and cooking staff had been sent ahead to set up and prepare for our arrival. We flew in by helicopter, just as Zelos had probably done in the past. In case I never explained this about us before, CV folk are not very affectionate in public. In the privacy of your own home, that's where all that belonged. Even so, I had rarely seen my parents kiss, hug, or touch, although I knew that they were a deeply devoted couple. Milgazia and Millie were practically still newlyweds, and you would never catch them giving one another googly eyes or making out in the bushes. That said, oh gods, Zelly was not repressed or repressible for long. He loved to pretend that he was the romantic lead in some grand musical. Oh, he had more self-control as an adult than he had had as a teenager. But when he was not on the job, he let down his guard and revealed his emotions. This meant that if he felt moved to wrap an arm around me, kiss me, snuggle, whisper sweet nothings, hold hands, the list goes on, then he would. That is, he'd try. If others of the clan could see us, I'd subtly turn away, slip out of his reach, or otherwise avoid the contact. I didn't like to do that to him. I mean, I wasn't a prude like Zelbob, but I knew it would make others uncomfortable. Also, I didn't want my folks to know how involved we really were. To get their approval to drop out of school, travel alone with Zelly, and run his shop, my shop, we had to convince them that ours was a professional relationship. And it was.
Trouble was, it was more than that now. Much more. And yeah, my folks suspected bunches, but were afraid of confronting me. Or, more likely, they didn't want to have their suspicions confirmed. With all that in mind, I continue. We landed on the island and reported in at the resort to check on our lodgings and say hi to the folks helping out.
I get to share with Zelly! My little brother cried out merrily.
Zelly looked me square in the eye and said,
I think not.
And when I hemmed and hawed, he took me by the elbow and led me out of the foyer into a slightly more private hallway.
Philia, I didn't come here to share a room with your little brother. Now, if you won't stand up for us and let your parents know that we are, that is, you and me, baby, are sharing a room, and that they have a two-bedroom suite with their son getting the side room, then I will.
I must have looked ill.
Philia, you are not a child. You are about to turn 23, and I'm 25. You are an adult and can make your own life decisions now. I thought you already had. I thought you and I had a kind of commitment. Am I wrong? Am I simply too inconvenient to be your boyfriend now? But when we are alone on the road, then I'm your bed warmer.
Zelos was mad at me. His temper, usually under wraps, was showing. That's how I knew how serious he was about this.
You know that's hogwash, Zelly.
Well, I thought so. But now, are we suddenly just friends? Business partners? I can't do the platonic act around you, Philly.
No, it's just that they are my parents. You wouldn't understand. We were staring at one another when my father and mother found us.
Is there something the matter, honey?
No, I began.
She means yes, Zelos inserted. Mrs. Olcott, Mr. Olcott, Philia and I will be sharing a room here. We frequently do, and have for a while. She didn't want to tell you because she knows you wouldn't approve. But it's true, and I see no shame in something so perfectly natural and understandable. Do you?
My father shook his head, mutely, while mumbling,
Well.
My mother sighed. Well, thank the gods that's over with. I want to go to my room and change shoes. Then I want to try out some of those trails. Zelos, you shall be our guide. Come on, Quentin. You are too old to be sharing a room. We've decided that you get one all to yourself, and it has a door that opens into ours. Isn't that special?
Thank the gods he thought it was.
My father was telling Zelos something in parting, which made Zelly answer back, and then they both smiled and nodded agreeably.
What was that about? I asked, as we strode to our own suite.
He wanted to be certain that we were careful.
I couldn't believe that my father would have the nerve to ask such a thing. And what did you say?
Naturally.
Zelos's eyes flickered gleefully, and then shut as he giggled.
Get it? I could have meant natural birth control, or natural as in very likely. Funny, eh? Well, he thought so.
I punched his back a few times. Imagine my boyfriend joking with my father about his having sex with me. I guess I wasn't as grown up as I thought I was about many things. The rest of the vacation was easy after that, comparatively. We settled on holding hands, and I let him put his arm around me. He didn't lock me into passion-filled kisses, feel me up, or try to rip off any of my clothing when they were around. We could agree on stuff like that. The place was gorgeous, which I'll write about later in another part sometime. We decided that we needed to hire a team of scientists, clan people when possible, to map out the place, the wildlife, and come up with some ecology-saving plans.
Funds are a problem,
Milgazia began.
That I can solve,
Zelos said.
I turned it over to you, but I meant for the financial support to be there too. I must have forgotten.
It also requires Philia's signature. Every decision does. That's how you wrote up the transfer. It's all in her name. Do you know why you did that?
Zelos did, I suspect. But all he would say was, "That's a secret."
I elbowed him gently. "No, it isn't. You were just trying to impress me way back then." To which he replied,
"Ah, well, it's possible."
And then he winked and smiled.
Another time that summer, Zelos helped me and my mother with the canning. He was much more useful than Val ever was, and so eager to please. He was happy scrubbing the cucumbers, or measuring out the spices, or stuffing the babies into jars. Whatever the task, he was happy to do it. He even offered to make us pies. I had to admire him. He had not shirked learning how to ride a horse or getting his hands dirty with actual dirt. Things he would hardly have done, for me at least, in the past. He had grown to be a most definitely handsome man, and not so prissy anymore, even when in the kitchen wearing one of my mom's aprons.
"You choose the fruit and prep it," he told me. "I'll make the crusts. I'm not as good as Zelgadis, but I blame him for not teaching me all his little tricks."
"Nectarines and blueberries blend well," my mother suggested.
"Okie dokie,"
he agreed. Then, in a whiny voice, he complained about the honey jar.
"Why is it that all I have to do is touch this thing and my hand's all sticky? Honey. Oh, honey."
He was grinning my way expectantly. "Just wash it off," I told him.
"Sure, you don't have any real sugar, that white stuff. I know how much of that to use."
My mother stepped in. "I'll help with that. We add more flour to make it drier. There, that should do it. So, you like to cook?"
"Yes, but probably only because I don't often get the chance. Zelgadis and I did most of the cooking on weekends together when we were living with Val. When I got married, well, I didn't get much of a chance. Since then, I've been traveling a lot, and cooking for one is impossible."
The way he looked at me made it clear that he wished I was living with him. I blushed, and my mom cleared her throat. But Zelly, he didn't care about that.
"Oh, I gotta work quick here. It's warm and the butter is softening as I cut it in. Ice water, yes!"
He giggled as my mother trickled a few tablespoons into his bowl and onto his arms.
More all over."
The way he said that made my mom blush. He could be so suggestive without intending it. Or maybe he did mean it that way. I love him madly. Needless to say, this endeared him to my mother. Not that that was necessary, because she had always liked him. My father pointed out his only flaw in their eyes, and it was a fatal one. That is, that they knew about. And it was the glaringly obvious fact that he was not part of the clan. One night we all sat together and talked about it, after Quinny went to bed. "Listen, Dad, he isn't going to join the clan. We know that. He's a priest elsewhere. I am not leaving the clan, so where does that leave us? Limbo land!" Zellybuns had said nothing about his futile attempts to join the training program, although it would have been a really good time to have done so. Excuse the shouting. "We can't get married. We can't be a family. We just are." I stomped off in a huff, refusing to thrash out my future any longer. Zelly might have called me back, but nothing mattered. Nothing would come of it. It was a dead-end discussion about a dead-end topic, about a dead-end relationship, if I wanted to think about it, which I didn't. But I overheard how the conversation ended. My father was saying,
"So at first we appreciated your getting her out and about. It wasn't until later that we became concerned. You were showering her with expensive gifts. You were wondering that I might try and buy her?"
Zelos asked in a subdued tone.
Well, yes. She, that is, we live simply out here, with all the luxuries you could afford, the latest fashions, fancy restaurants and parties, traveling the world like royalty, the high life. How could she not be taken in?
Oh, I think the term you're looking for is enchanted, dear, my mother put in. He wasn't trying to lure her into the underworld.
But don't you agree that she must have been, is, a little overwhelmed by all the attention?
Zelos answered.
What you are really wondering, I think, is if I ever thought that Philia might be staying with me primarily because of what I give her. That's a shallow assessment of your daughter.
I could hear him chuckle softly.
Although it is possible.
My father then said,
You don't care? That she may not care for you like she should? Doesn't that bother you? It would, if I believed it. I said there was a possibility, but I don't believe that it's true. I know that Philia loves me, the real me. No woman has ever loved the real me like she does.
My heart swelled to hear him say that. He had so much faith in me and in our love. My father seemed adamant to find a crack in his shielding, and now even Mom was getting into the act. Philia has always had her way, or demanded it. We thought it might all be an act of defiance at first. You see, first there was Val. Then, after learning about the Golden Clan's involvement in destroying the Ancients, she nearly broke with her priestess vows entirely. Turning to you would have been an extreme move.
There may have been a bit of that,
Zelos's smooth voice broke in. And that doesn't bother you either? My mom pressed.
Nope.
I bet he was smiling when he said that.
She is about more than all that. She has accepted everything about me, the good and the bad. She has given me everything and asks me for nothing in return. Well, she does stretch my boundaries at times and pushes me to do a few things I'm unaccustomed to. Like riding horses,
he added quickly, so that my parents didn't think he was hinting at something kinky. His voice softened into a pensive tone as he confessed,
She moves me like no other has. I'd do anything for her. Even,
my father asked,
give her up?
I left my room at that point and saved him further interrogation by suggesting we go for a walk. It was my birthday, and I wanted to sleep that night with something else to remember, something more than his haunting voice intoning,
When I have to.
Occurring over the 6th, 7th, and 8th years after the musical. So the years wore on, and Zelos and I were in love, but the strain of an uncertain future and of the long separations when he traveled whittled away at us both. I kept myself busy running the Mason Vase, creating a few of my own pieces, and occasionally taking a class at night. I had completed 3 years at the university, plus some credits in AP high school classes, and was slowly accumulating credits towards another year of class credit. And without paying really close attention, I noticed that everyone else was feeling stretched to the limit as well. Zelgadis was busy practically every waking and non-waking minute of the day, completing his internship and then residency at a small hospital in Syrag. Amelia was interning at a small law firm in Syrag too, I think chosen for its proximity to Zell's hospital more than its learning opportunities. But don't try and get her to admit that, even to this day. No, she said she needed to work outside of Seyrun, somewhere where her name wasn't a household word. I could buy that excuse as well. Lena was writing like a fiend and teaching while finishing up her doctoral thesis at some point. She wasn't home much, although she called all the time. She said that she was traveling to gain experiences, which she would include in her stories. Val looked after her when she went out his way. Zelos too, maybe. Not that he would have said so.
and he didn't. We were all spread out, but we did call and keep in contact. The band was touring less. We'd shut ourselves into our recording studio and churn out a new CD every so often, and then promote it with a few concerts. We were all too busy, and most of us too well off to work at it hard anymore. Val, I don't know where he was most of the time, but before one band gig, he announced that the Ancient Clan Monument Park would be ready for opening soon in the winter, the start of the 7th year since the musical. Somehow, he had become a strong political activist with the power and finances to place his properties under the continent's Preservation and Protection Authority. There was the area around his and Naga's spa, Health and Rehabilitation Center, which was exempt from the no-growth zoning laws, where a thriving community of outdoorsy folk, the well-to-do, and plenty of us common folk to run the hundreds of small services, restaurants, and businesses which had sprung up. With jobs and tourist trade, the Golden Clan settlements in the area were flourishing. These clans included the one Milgazia's wife had come from, and the one from which Brad, Gag, hailed. It was summer, early fall. I remember because I had just been on the phone with Zelgadas telling me that Joey was starting his last year of high school, and that we should do something for him come spring for graduation, but that he was far too busy to lift a hand himself, or was certain he'd be come spring, so on and so forth. Zelos had been gone for 10 days. He startled me by showing up unannounced at the Mason Bays.
"Miss me?"
he whispered into my ear. His sinewy hand had wrapped around me from the back, and his hands were pressed over my eyes. "Ah!" I screamed and dropped the cell phone. He caught it before it hit the floor.
"Sorry, I didn't know you were holding anything."
"Zelos, you could have called!" I shouted. I was angry with him. Lena had told me that he had run into her on the road and that they had gone wine tasting in Zephelia. Not that I would have minded much, but he had only said that he would be busy for a few more days. He hadn't said busy with whom. He never talked about Lena, but Lena talked lots about him. It wasn't as if they were doing anything wrong, but he would just happen to meet up with her in the oddest places and at the oddest times. I was secure, I thought, knowing that he loved me and me alone. But what was it about Lena that attracted him like that? It bothered me more each time she'd mention a new occurrence. And maybe that was because he never did. If I brought it up like, "Oh, Lena told me she ran into you at the Shelby in Troutville," then he'd just smile and say,
"Ah, that's right, we did have lunch."
It wasn't as if he was hiding anything, but he wasn't very forthcoming when it came to Lena business. But this time, it had run into an overnight experience. Lena shrugged it off as nothing special. He just got a room so we could visit a few more places the next day. So why had she mentioned it at all? She knew how involved he and I were. I never thought she was so hot in the looks department, and her behavior was outlandish. What made her so fascinating? What was her draw? And why hadn't Zelos called and told me himself? That was Zell with nothing important. But before that, Lena called to say you and she were off wine tasting. She thought I didn't like wine, so you hadn't brought me along. But I would have loved to have joined you guys, Zelos. I hadn't seen you in over a week.
Ah, well, I had business in the area, and I really did just run into her. I knew you would be busy setting up for your big show tomorrow, and didn't want to distract you. I'm here now, though.
I can see that, I sniffed. I was glad to have him back. I wanted more than anything to just slap up a closed for the day sign, lock up the shop, and head over to his townhouse.
I know. He rubbed my shoulders gently. I need to go back and unpack and shower. Why don't I come pick you up in an hour? We'll go out for dinner. Then we can go back to my place, okay?
That's fine. I succumbed to his charms over and over. Then a day or so later, my world was turned around, upside down, and inside out. All I knew was that Zelos had gone out with Milgazia, who was in town on business, and would meet me later. He'd call. He rarely stopped by the house I shared with Lena. Zelos had always been very circumspect around Lena when I was around, and when it came to our relationship. He didn't flaunt it around any of the Slayers, keeping a professional attitude when it was work. Only I got to see the real Zelos, and only in private or when just the two of us traveled. That was why I was so surprised to see him in the house that Lena and I shared. I had told Lena that I'd be working out back in my small studio until lunchtime. I was putting the finishing touches on a new line of pottery, which I was hoping would be a hit. If it turned out good enough, I would sell it in the Mason Vase. The store was doing so well that I had made a name for myself as a self-made expert on modern ceramics. I was often called to critique other shows and give presentations in my old high school. Yes, I am avoiding writing about this next part. It was more painful than any torture scenario I could have dreamed up. I walked into our house, Lena's and mine. He was speaking in a low voice, and then drawing her into a kiss. Zelos was holding her in his arms and kissing her passionately. I could have died right on the spot, but I didn't. I stood there and stared, half expecting them to start laughing and call it a stupid, thoughtless, practical joke. I mean, I knew he carried a part of her in his heart, but he and I had been a couple for years. Why this now? How could he do this to me now? He had been saying something to her.
I've never forgotten you. Tell me how you feel now.
Trembling with a roiling mix of emotions, I said between gritted teeth, sorry to interrupt this important meeting, but you're blocking the path to my room. They flew apart, Lena doing the pushing. She punched Zelos and kicked him too, accusing him of attacking her against her wishes. He was trying to say something, but I was not interested or listening. I ran to my room, slammed my door, locked it, and turned up my music to block out anything else. I was devastated. I wasn't mad at either of them, yet. Just shocked and sad. So sad. I kept falling and falling. First, I closed out the books on the Mason Vase, wrote out and delivered the final paychecks to the two ladies I had hired, and locked the door to the place. It was an agonizing day when I had to walk away from the shop I had poured my heart into building. I sent Zelos an envelope in the mail containing the shop key and a brief note which read, "You are free, have her or not. Get her out of your heart once and for all. Please do not try and contact me." I quit the band, sending Lena a similar note, moved into a tiny apartment near campus, and returned to school full-time. If I worked hard, I would have my degree in less than a year. I had no sympathy or reminders of what I lost. It was awful. I didn't want anyone to know the depths of the pain that he had inflicted upon me. Lena, too. I hated everyone and everything. I cried until my body ached, and still I lay heaving dry tears. Betrayed. He had betrayed me. So had Lena. I had trusted him completely. I never pressed him for details when he had been away. I never questioned the rumors I had heard. They were just rumors. I had vowed never to be a complaining, finger-pointing bitch. I hadn't asked him for anything. The business, well, I worked my butt off to make that a successful, profitable enterprise. I gave him my heart and my promise to love him forever, and he betrayed me with her, my friend and roommate and band member. I could not believe it, although I had seen it with my very own eyes. I lost all sense of time. Well, not all, I guess, because I made it to classes on time.
I ate automatically and lost weight unintentionally. My campus apartment location was a close-kept family secret. I wanted a life apart from the other Slayers, and with effort, I got it. I knew where Zell and Lena hung out and avoided those places. The impact of our breakup hit me like an out-of-control freight train in the ancient clan lands, wild and fierce and leaving me in utter devastation. I wasn't even safe at night. I had to dream and redream about Zelos. I even relived the first time we made love. It was shocking in clarity. When it resurfaced from my unconscious into a dream. The enormity of the emotional trauma sent me screaming into wakefulness. Sweat poured off my chest. I tore off my nightgown, which had been hot and sticky, and then gone instantly cold and clammy against my skin. I was panting and anxious. I thought on awakening that I'd forgotten all about losing my virginity, breaking my long-held priestess vows. Such a momentous occasion. At the time, I had figured it wasn't such a big deal after all the fooling around we'd been doing. And it wasn't then, but it was now. I had given him an irretrievable gift, and I thought he had treasured it, a no-return policy included. But no, he had taken it from me, taken it and then discarded it with all the words of love and trust and commitment we'd made. I hated the thought of giving him that first time. He didn't love me anymore. I had a panic attack over that. Herbs helped. So did time. And so did family and an old friend. Fall ran into winter and into the spring. I graduated from college and returned to the settlement, where I helped my mother but did little else. Summer came and went like that. And then another fall. I remained in self-confinement at the settlement. I had missed everyone's graduation ceremonies, birthings, and new job celebrations, although I did receive invitations to attend them at my parents' address. It was a sad, pitiful life, but it was what I wanted. I hadn't the motivation to do a damn thing more. I did see Val. I couldn't avoid him entirely when he came out to the settlement. The first time we saw each other, I explained my wishes, and, gods be with him, he honored those wishes and left me alone. But gradually, I softened somewhat, and we began riding together. We never spoke about the other Slayers. He listened to my few words and cheered me up a bit with his wild and crazy stories. Boy, I needed a friend like him at the time. Then came the blissful dreams of my life deeply in love with Zelos, like persistent, wretched reminders of what was lost. I would be half asleep when I swear I could feel the bed sway with Zelos's weight as he sank onto the mattress and swept to my side. But it hadn't. I even smiled when I recalled my irritation with his persistent need for loving, how he'd press his length along my thigh in urgent supplication, leaving a cool, damp trail like a slimy slug. The look he gave me every time I asked him to put some clothes on, because he loved to wander his place naked all the time. The time I thought we had finally come to an arrangement that he'd wear something at the dinner table, only for him to greet me at the table sporting a strategically placed sock and a scarf of mine tied like a bow around his neck. He could be so childish and fun-loving and tender and fragile. It hurt. I loved him so much. I missed him so much. I felt so hollow inside. I cried each time I thought about him, soaking my pillow in salty tears. Not all the time. When I think of his eyes when he'd sung, "It's You," or his smile when he'd ask, "Yes, love," I couldn't help but tag on, "Was it me?" Or, "Who did you mean?" How could he say those things to me? And love Lena too? How could he lie like that? How could he lie? How could he? The anger, frustration, and pain would overwhelm me. And then I would pound my pillow to threads and send the feathers flying like dry leaves in autumn. Pillows. I was running out of pillows. In time, Val convinced me to go shopping at the mall on the outskirts of Seyrun. It was time I got out of my self-imposed purgatory and either start over or, well, Val wouldn't let me go there, he promised. Instead, he drove me to the mall a few times and let me shop alone, when I wanted to, picking me up when I phoned. It was good to be around normal people again, and there I gained another sorely needed friendship. Pillows. I beat up, soaked, and otherwise destroyed many pillows. The fourth time I entered the bedding department at the mall's Anchor department store to buy a new pillow, which was the least expensive feather, but with as much down as possible, please. The sales lady, a woman about my age, took me aside. Listen, hun, either you got man troubles or you got more relatives moving in on you than you need. I was about to object to the woman's audacity, but all my fight left me. I needed to gripe to someone, a woman who'd understand. Man. She nodded. I thought so. Been there. How about I buy you a cup of tea in the coffee shop downstairs? I got a break coming. So that's how I came to be pouring out my woes to a woman I hardly knew, but who could commiserate with me completely. She had been dumped more than once and had found peace alone. She was married now, but it had taken a lot of work on his part to get past her defenses. After I told her about the scene which caused our breakup, she asked a few questions which got me to thinking through the painful event. But you didn't catch all that he'd been saying to her, am I right? Maybe she wanted him to pay her some attention, like. And he was trying to figure out if she really cared about him or was just envious of what you and he had. Maybe she was just latching on to him when you caught them. She pushed him off. I saw that. She was shocked seeing you. She was hiding it all from you. What did he tell you? He give you any kind of excuse? I shook my head. I wouldn't have listened to it if he had. Miss Frida. My name's Frida, hun, and I think this situation calls for an evaluation. That's just what I think. I sipped my tea. Philia. Philia, now that's a pretty name. I must have scrunched up my face at the unfamiliar, nasty, bitter taste of the beverage, because she wrinkled up her nose, too, and confessed, ugh, mine's pretty bad, too. Sorry about this tea. I'm spoiled since my place closed up. Yeah? Where was that? I asked. Downtown, the Mason Vase, we said together. You went there too? She asked. I told her that it had been mine. No kidding! She was thrilled. Terrific teas and delicious food, and sometimes I see this guy there. Now he was mouthwatering. One of the waitresses said he was a rock musician. I tried to get him to notice me, but, well, maybe he was a guy's guy. What, you know who I'm talking about, right? Mr. Tall, Purple, and Mysterious? I smiled and shook my head. That was Zelos. He was the owner, and I his partner. He bought it with, proceeds from his mother's estate when she died. He lived off the money from the band. My expression must have said a bit more. She wondered that I'd give up a place like that, and then it sunk in. Oh, gods, no, not him. That gorgeous Zelos fellow was the cheating monster you broke up with? Oh, honey, cry all you like. I held my tears in check this time and sipped my tea as punishment. We had known each other for years and had been in love for half of them. But he never wanted to marry you, huh? I explained that conundrum. I'm a Sifi believer, and he is a white shrine priest. It wouldn't have worked. One of us would have had to give up something just too important. Priest, eh? Who'd have figured him for that? And he wouldn't join your clan, right? He might have tried, but I'm certain they wouldn't have accepted him. Extenuating circumstances, you see. But he might have given up his position otherwise. Not that that matters anymore. So, he wanted you a lot. Well, honey, what was stopping you from joining him?
I explained that I would have to leave my priestess position. Not the end of the world for me, and lose my clan privileges and easy access to my family.
And that was important?
Listen, hun, most married folks try and get away from their interfering in-laws and meddlesome relations. How much of your life did you figure you'd have been staying out of that clan of yours, if you'd been married? A week or two each year? Surely your old clan rules would have let you visit a few weeks a year, right?
More than that. Far more than that.
I realized that I had never really thought about what a marriage was, what it entailed. It meant building a new life, a new family, as well as fitting in with my old one. Why had I naturally expected Zelos and me to settle down out on the settlement? He liked to go for visits, but I knew he belonged in the city. Hell, I liked the city too. I hated the idea of being stuck out on the settlement for the rest of my life. In fact, I was getting restless being in such close proximity to my parents already, after having lived on my own for some time now. What had I been thinking? I had let Milgazia counsel me, but he was the head of my clan, and he certainly wouldn't be giving me advice that would lead to my resignation. Had I spoken to someone else, say, Mrs. Gabriel, would I have gotten another kind of recommendation? Would Zelos and I be together now, happily married? But then there was Lena. There had been Lena as well. There was Lena, and he loved her, didn't he? Frida and I stayed a little longer and talked. But when I went home that night, I had a lot to think about, and a couple new pillows to think with. I started wondering what had become of Lena and Zelos' romance. Lena would come to visit Luna and Julian out at the settlement, alone, never accompanied by Zelos. But I made certain I was not there or available. Since I was clan and she was not, there were places I could go that she could not, so it wasn't hard. Plus, Luna was kind enough to always notify me prior to Lena's coming. Bless the Knight of Seafeed, may she live long. So, whatever relationship Lena and Zelos had surrendered to, I was decisively ignorant of it. By that spring, I was emotionally brittle, but mentally stable. As far as I was concerned, Lena and Zelos had been living out their dreams in blissful harmony. But Frida's words had wormed their way into my consciousness, leaving behind doubts where certainty had once flourished. Val dropped in one afternoon to say hi and go riding. Actually, he was out of breath. He had driven like a bat out of hell to see me. It was important that I know something. Good. I was ready to listen. Val, let's go for a walk. When Val told me Zelos had remarried, I was unprepared.
Zelos, I don't know what you want to know about him, but you ought to know that Zelos got married again.
Val began. His news was interrupted by the phone buzzing. Hold that thought. Hello, Luna? I'm with Val. Yeah, he just told me. Are you two in collusion or something? Oh, he just got back from where? Lena wants to talk to me? Why's that? Oh, I don't really think so. Lena's at your place alone? Then it wasn't her? I'll think about it. Bye. I stared at Val. He didn't marry Lena? Val looked at me as if I were nuts.
Lena? What makes you think they would have gotten married? Shit, since you guys broke up, Lena hasn't even talked to him. Even on the road, she made Zell or Amelia the go-between. When he even played.
But he was always in love with her. He met her, was with her in Zephelia. He was kissing her that day. I never spoke to either of them after that.
Phil, I don't know nothing about that. Nobody does. You never said a word.
Zelos didn't either.
I do know about Zephelia, because I was there too. No one knew about that, and he wouldn't give away my confidential info. But I can say for an absolute fact that he and Lena had nothing going on then. And I know that he barely survived your leaving him. But he wouldn't say a thing about it. He had a nervous breakdown or something, and Zell put him in a hospital. When Zell got him out to go to Joey's graduation, he just left the continent, and now he's back, just today. And he said he's married to some woman no one's ever heard of. He's not happy, but he's not suicidal anymore. Val paused as he mulled over something I'd said earlier. Wait, he didn't tell you he was having an affair with Lena, did he? No, never. Of course not. He couldn't say nothing like that because it wasn't true and he can't lie. His eyes give him all away. Zell told me. It's part of his condition. Zelos hadn't lied to me? He hadn't married Lena? They had parted that same day? Then why the hell had Zelos done that? Why had they been kissing? It must have been one-sided, his side, and Lena had turned him down. So why hadn't he tried harder to get in touch with me? He certainly had the connections to discover my whereabouts. Yeah, I told him not to, but when had he ever let something like that get in his way? I was still trying to process that. If he had wanted to get rid of me, that was one hell of a way to do it. Why? I need to talk to Malgazia, Val. Thanks for coming over. He was going that way too, and so walked me over while calling ahead on his cell phone. Mill was in. That was when I first learned about Zelos' prior meetings with my clan leader. That was when I found out that Zelos had tried to gain approval from the Seafeed Clan Supreme Elder to enter the clan training program 5 times, and he had been turned down 5 times. The last the day I discovered him with Lena. Malgazia told me how desperate Zelos had been to find a way to marry me, and that he thought Zelos had set a deadline by which time, if no hope was left, he would set me free. Do you think that last failure came at the deadline? I asked. Mill nodded.
I had a meeting set with him. He called first, and when he heard the news, he canceled our meeting and told me not to continue trying. I thought he was communicating all this to you. Had I any idea that you were uninformed? All those years.
He was unable to finish his thoughts. It was too late, after all. He set that whole thing up to get me to let go of him emotionally, I said. The realization was staggering. He could have chased me down to convince me there was nothing between him and Lena. He could have tried to get me back.
But he wanted you to be free, to have another chance to find someone you could marry, to have a full, complete life, before it was too late.
Malgazia looked deeply into my eyes.
It's not too late to find someone in the clan who will make you a fine husband. Perhaps an older man would be better suited to...
Tears sprang to my eyes. How could he make such a decision like that without consulting me? I interrupted Mill's nonsense. All I wanted was him. I needed him for that. So things didn't work out with his stupid timetable. He goes and does the one thing he knew I couldn't take and drove me off. He let me go. No, scratch that. He made me leave him. All that hurt was for nothing. And then he went and remarried to put himself permanently out of bounds. All this time wasted. Wasted. I could kill him. I could just... kill him! I shall! Malgazia calmed me down after a bit.
On the good side, you've graduated from college, you're still young, and you are wiser.
Ignoring the man, it was either that or knock his head clean off with the walking stick resting by his door. I knew he meant well, but I was on the warpath. I jumped to my feet and headed out the door. Next, Lena! It was a rancorous, sweet, tearful, jubilant, emotionally releasing, and bonding experience, meeting with Lena after our estrangement. She was mad as hell at the idiot. That would be Zelos. But now Lena understood what his motives were at the time he initiated that kiss. And after a time, she was considering forgiving him. She wanted her band intact. She wanted her friends back. The past year or so had been a terrible drain on her and everyone. She told me about Zell's fight to save Zelos from a mental slip into serious depression, and I cried. I cried for us all, and the pain I had caused. I had tried to cut myself out of the Slayers, but all I had accomplished was cutting the Slayers up. Lena assured me it wasn't my fault. She might have done the same thing. Well, after killing Zelos first. That day, the healing began. It took a while, but one day shortly thereafter, I joined the band for practice. Lena begged me, and greeted Zelos for the first time in over a year. Now, I would tell him where to go, twist off his head, and dropkick it onto the freeway for a game of dodgeball. One look. His eyes met mine.
Forgive me?
His lips moved soundlessly. He held me spellbound in that plumb gaze. The thoughts of neck twisting and head launching and equally satisfying alternative of mashing his brains into the cement floor vaporized on contact. Of course, I gasped breathlessly. All my fire piffled out. And I meant it. It's him. I did. It's him. The hitch was, I was still in love. With him. And the magic was back.